Hello, this is What the Faux Travel Podcast. This is Series 2, Episode 1, and it's South India Styling.
Hello guys, Series 2, here we go. We're going to be talking about our honeymoon, the first part of it, where we went to India for 2 weeks and we were on a trip with Gecko's Adventures.
Yes, so if you heard Series 1, you will know that we travelled to India 2 years ago. That was northern India. We did the triangle from Nepal inwards, you know, all the classic stuff of Taj Mahal, Agra and all of that. But this time we wanted to explore the south because we thought it was our favourite country we've ever visited, and we thought, let's put it to the test for a second time round. We heard that the south was really different, which you'll find out whether we agree with that a little bit later.
I was worried that we might go and then India might not be our favourite country anymore, but we'll tell you guys at the end of the show.
So Nick, in Series 1 we had quite a famous feature along our
best feature,
our mother foes, and I'm wondering whether people are going to be upset or joyed. Is that a word? Joyed?
Yeah.
Overjoyed? Is Game Show Facts coming back?
At the moment, half. Half Game Show Facts, because I've got some facts, but we've already done Game Show Facts on India. And yes, you're right, it is the best part of the show. People love it. But I've got some facts about Kerala, which is the state in South India. We spent a large chunk of our trip in Kerala, so I've got some quick facts for you to start off the show.
Okay, but you can't leave people hanging like that. Okay, so is there going to be Game Show Facts in Series 2?
Oh, Game Show Facts is here to stay.
Okay, so we're just not doing it for India because
we've done it already.
Okay, all right. We're all clear, people. It's fine. It's fine.
Kerala translated means land of coconuts, and we found all the food there has got coconut in it in some way. They have a use for every part of the coconut, whether it's the kind of, what is it called, the bark on the outside. They used to make rope, and
yeah,
they fucking love coconuts.
Yeah, they really do. And to like sort of break it down as well, Kera means coconut and La means land, so it's literally land of coconuts, Kerala.
Land of coconuts. It is the most literate state, and actually it was the first state in India to reach 100%. How mental was that?
In what?
Reading, literate.
Oh.
The first state in India to reach 100% literacy rate.
I'm not surprised by that at all, because when we first turned up in Trivandrum, our first stop, all we noticed was how much more educated everybody was, even just walking around the streets. And this sounds really weird. There were a lot of bookshops and libraries everywhere.
Shocking.
It's shocking. It really is. But there was like more libraries there than there are in England.
Well, yeah, I know what you mean. When we first got to Kerala, yeah, Trivandrum, the capital of Kerala, we were walking around thinking, this place actually seems quite nice. And like everyone seemed fairly well off and middle class, and like there was quite nice houses. And we're thinking,
proper roads and cars.
Yeah, and we're thinking, this isn't India. What's happened?
We want the shitty dirt tracks.
And of course, no surprise now, they have the highest life expectancy in the whole of India. But the one major downside to Kerala, it's really hard to get a beer in a restaurant, to
yes.
get any alcohol.
This is so true. I couldn't have my red wine in the evening sometimes.
Yeah, we're going to be talking about this more later in the show, but really difficult to go out and get a beer. So that's it for some factual goodness on this show. But like I said, Game Show Facts is going to be back next episode.
I'm sure everybody is very happy about that. Right, let's talk about the actual tour that we went on. So even though it's going to sound like we're getting paid by Gecko's, because we're just going to charm the shit out of their company.
Believe us, we've tried already.
They ain't giving us no dollar. But nonetheless, they are actually a sick company. This is the second time we've travelled with them and super happy with the way everything's gone. So the trip that we actually did, like I said earlier, we started in Trivandrum, and that's in the state of Kerala. So most of the places we went to were in Kerala, weren't they? But yep. Then we kind of went into different places. And the one thing that surprised us, we finished in Goa and we thought Goa was a place. Yeah. We thought it was like Chelmsford, like a city.
A city, yeah.
But it's actually like a state, or what's another word, a region.
Yeah, county, state, region, yeah.
So when people say they went to Goa, that pretty much means nothing. There's so many different places you can go. There's hippie places, there's like party places, and it's just, it varies so much.
Yeah,
so you can't really say I went to Goa.
You've got the old town as well for like the history, but yeah, there's so, it's like five or six different main areas of Goa, and it's a big place.
It's intense. So we started in Trivandrum. I'm just going to list through the places that we went in order of the way that we traveled. So Trivandrum, we went to Varkala. There's such a word, a difficult word, isn't it? Kerala backwaters, whatever. Kochi, then we went to Perea, Madurai, Mysore, Hampi, and then finishing in Goa. The whole trip was 16 days?
Yep, starting right near the bottom of India, heading north along the coast, then east inland up to Hampi, and then west back to the coast to Goa.
Lovely. All right, so let's kind of briefly explain each place. So Trivandrum, we were just talking about it. Seems very educated place, lots of like nice roads and stuff, but there wasn't that much tourism or tourists there, was there?
No, we were one of few tourists or white people there. Mm-hmm. And walking around, it didn't seem like there was much to do for tourists, no tourist attractions. So we were kind of wandering around for the first day, which was nice not to have a plan and you want to see some proper India. But yeah, it just didn't feel like there was much to do there. Do you agree?
Yeah, I do agree with you. I'm glad that we went though. I think was a good starting point. I would say if you are going to go there and you want to buy some Indian clothes as just sort of general everyday living sort of clothes, not nice saris or anything like that, I would say buy it there, because I remember there being sari sets for like 200 rupees, which is literally like £2.
Yeah.
And then later on in the trip, I really wanted some everyday clothes and it went up to like 1,000 rupees and got quite expensive. So,
So to me, Trivandrum seemed like a place where Indians would go to shop. And I think I mentioned earlier, it is the capital of Kerala. So probably where people go like to work, for jobs, to go shopping. But they didn't really see much else to do, did they?
Yeah, but I would actually say we had a great meal, maybe one of our best meals there. So we were there 2 days before the tour started, so we could just kind of have a feel for it. And just in case our flights were delayed, we wouldn't miss the tour, which was quite scary because when you first get there, you have to decide for yourself where is safe to eat. Because India has this whole thing of, you know, you're going to get ill if you go to India. And it's not like that at all anymore. We really want to push that. Everything is cleaned with bottled water. Everything is made with bottled water. I think it's really hard to get ill there now.
It's definitely changed. Well, made a difference between the south and the north. Yeah, we found that it was actually quite hygienic. And this sounds silly that I'm surprised by this, but this place where we had lunch, it was, well, one, it was very cheap, I think 60 rupees, so less than a pound. And it was called a thali. So you get rice in the middle, followed by it around it, I should say, all sorts of different sides and like vegetable dishes and lentils and things like that. And yeah, you get free refills. But because everyone eats with their hands, which we did, and it's great.
It's amazing.
It's actually better than eating with a knife and fork.
I prefer it.
But because everyone eats with their hands, of course, you've got to wash your hands. So there's a big communal sink area. And there was loads of bottled soap and everything, and I was actually surprised to see soap there. Sounds like I'm patronizing India a bit, but yeah, there's soap everywhere. I think there it's come a long way, definitely.
Absolutely. But this restaurant was amazing, wasn't it? When you turn up and they give you your like circular plate, which, by the way, we were meant to buy some of those and bring them back.
Yeah,
we
just had to carry them, didn't we?
But they put you like a banana leaf down. They come round, they serve you all your rice and they bring it all to you. And like you said, it was 60 rupees, which is literally about 60p. What's that in US dollars?
Maybe a dollar, just less.
That's insane.
Yeah.
It was such good food as well. And then because we had such a good experience, we were just praying we wouldn't get ill from it and it could be in full a good experience.
You never know. In a couple of hours, you could be regretting it. But that was really good. And walking around Trivandrum, like anywhere in India, the locals are really friendly. They just want to know where you're from. They want to shake your hand. They all want to have pictures with you, which is nice. It can sometimes get a little bit annoying. And I said to you, like I said earlier, I can be walking down the street in India and corner of my eye, I can see someone approaching me. And before they've even asked me the question, I'm like, yeah, okay, one picture quickly. Yeah, no problem.
So but true.
They all say selfie, selfie.
That is like the one word that everyone in India knows. Oh, selfie, selfie.
Yeah.
So and funny.
If you guys check out our social media, there's lots of pictures of us in groups with our gang, with our squad.
Our squads, yeah. We had many of those in India.
Really did.
At one point, we were walking around the park in Trivandrum and I really need to go to the toilet, come straight back out with like soaking wet hands, and I have all these Indian boys run up to me with a load of camera phones wanting me to take pictures of them with Nick. And I was like, I've got soaking wet hands, you know, I'm probably gonna drench your phone, but whatever. They were just like, selfie, selfie. They just didn't care, as long as they could get this picture with Nick. That was all they needed in life.
They loved it, I loved it, you loved it. And also that same day walking around Trivandrum, this group of four or five guys came up to us in very jazzy shirts, and they had like long hair. They look like proper hippies. They were Indian. And they said, oh, excuse me one second. And we're like, what's this going to be? Some sort of scam. And he said, oh, we're filming a music video. Can you guys be in it? And I assume they're a band. And what did he want us to say? Like 3, 2, 1.
Logan Frikida.
We had to do like these hand signals. And yeah, 1, 2, 3. We all went, Logan Frikida.
Into the camera.
And again, we're like, this is day one. And we're thinking, what's going on? But everyone's so friendly and it was really nice.
I think this is a good time to mention what I had on my face at that point.
Yes, we should mention the face.
The chin. So these guys approached Nick for the music video, and I'm thinking at this point, there's no way they're going to want me in it because I look hideous. I had a cold sore on my chin, and it was massive, wasn't it? It literally covered my chin.
Like, I normally want to kind of soften the blow for you and tell you, you know, it's not that bad, but this thing was fucking massive. Oh, my God.
It was just a big, gross mess on
like
my face.
Big scab on your chin, wasn't
it? Oh, it was so horrible. And we videoed the whole thing as well because I'm making a documentary, which once that's ready, I will shout it out to you and you can watch it. It's not done yet. But I was just so upset that this lesion cold sore thing was going to be on my face throughout the whole trip. But I soon got over it. It was fine.
It healed quite quickly. It lasted about half the trip, didn't it?
Yeah, about half of it. So I apologise when you watch that video. but yeah, so I didn't think they were going to want me in their music video. But they were like, no, come on, Logan Frikida.
Just, you know, that old saying.
Logan Frikida.
Don't worry about your chin, just Logan Frikida.
So that was Trivandrum.
Trivandrum was where we... No, it was good. I do like it. Trivandrum was where we met our Gecko's Adventure group in the hotel. So the one evening we met the group. No, our last trip, there's about 15 of us. There was 5 this time. There was obviously ourselves. There was a brother and sister also from England, from Bournemouth. They were called Georgia. Georgina?
Georgia. And the brother was called Josh.
Was it what? Georgina or Georgia?
Well, no, it was Georgia. What the fuck's wrong with you?
I forgot. Sorry. Georgia, Josh, and there was an American girl called Casey.
Oh, you got that one right.
Where's she from in America?
The South.
Well, yeah.
The deep South.
But do you know where?
Is that even the right accent? I don't even know.
Yeah, kind of. Okay. But really nice group, and our tour guide was called Afsha. But he, because he knows we're lazy English people, he said, "No, just call me Ash." But I did make the effort to try and call him Afsha.
You were good
much
with that.
Possible.
Yeah.
So we met in the hotel. He just said what's going to happen over the next few days. And then he said, just have some dinner in the hotel. And then tomorrow morning, we're off.
Can I just put in something that was really, really strange? Halfway through the trip, we found out that our tour guide, Afsha, knew our tour guide from the north of India 2 years ago. They actually trained together.
Shout out to Bishal.
To Bishal, yes.
Yeah, Bishal.
Yeah.
We love woo-hoo. Bishal.
Right, let's wrap through the rest of this. So the next stop was Varkala. This was kind of like a very hippie beach town. You can go surfing there, although it's pretty scary because the waves are pretty big.
Really rough,
and
yeah.
You will also see that in the video.
I really like Varkala. Such a nice, chilled beach town. I imagine it being a very small version of what I thought Goa was going to be like, which I think was kind of correct. Like,
I guess so, yeah.
Nice beach, and because we're in the South of India, it's very tropical.
But less party sort of atmosphere in Varkala because obviously the whole beer situation.
Yeah, well, it's very chilled. I mean, basically, the what you're going to hear later when we talk to one of our friends we made who owns a bar there, it's to do with the licensing laws, but there are ways around it. But instead of it being a party place, it was kind of where hippies go to chill out, man, discover themselves. And
so with you putting that accent on, you basically mean where they smoke weed.
That's exactly what I'm saying. It was very chilled out, very weed heavy rather than drink.
I thought you were going to say weed heaven then.
Well, just, yeah, to some people it is.
It
would be weed heaven. And the bar's kind of the most lively bar, I think, finished around 11 or midnight. Like, it wasn't a place where you go and party all night.
Yeah. Yeah, so the best bar that we went to was actually called the Darjeeling Caff. Well, it's a caff, but I would call it a bar.
Yeah.
I don't know why it's called.
During the day, it's a place where you just chill out and maybe have a smoke and a tea or whatever. But at night, they serve beer and there's music.
Yeah, so we went there twice, actually, and on our second night, we caught up with Binood, who is the owner of Darjeeling Caff, and we asked him how long it's been since he opened the caff.
Yeah, hello, my name is Binood from Darjeeling, and we are now in Varkala. It's located in South India, Kerala. It's a really nice place. Here is a nice cliff and beach and nice cafe, bar.
It's a really nice, chilled place to come, isn't it? So is this your bar, the Darjeeling Cafe?
Yeah, this is my bar. I just opened it last year, and it goes really well.
Business is good. It's very busy.
Yeah.
Wow, I can't believe you've only been open for a year.
Yeah.
That's insane. I thought you were going to say like 5-6 years.
Yeah. I opened just last year. It's now 2 years running, but I had a dream since when I started to work as in a restaurant field. So I was only 14 years old at time. So it's my 11 years of dream. So
wow.
Whatever I do here is from my heart, and I'm working, I'm giving all my love to this place. So
nice.
I think that's where it's going well.
Yeah, that's so impressive. So from being in the south of India, we've noticed it's actually quite hard to get an alcohol license. Why is it so difficult?
Difficult because here on the cliff, everybody can't have the license. We have to have the nice property, like a 5-star hotel or 3-star hotel. So a small place, we can't have the license, but we managed to sell because we need alcohol for the customer. They are in holiday, they want to enjoy drinks and eat. So we don't sell a lot, but we give without license. Our local government, local police, they little some kind of support us, but not so freedom, but we still do it.
Okay, so it's you're not supposed to, but the local police are kind of okay with it.
Yeah,
and it brings in a lot of money for the local economy.
Okay, so what happens, say, the police come and they see that you're selling alcohol? Like, what would they do?
Actually, we are not really freedom. They just come and they ask us not to sell.
They just say don't sell it?
Don't sell it.
Okay.
And, but they know this is tourist field, so they cannot push us not to sell because this is tourist and we are giving tax for government and the alcohol also company from the government, but it's just not freedom, but we still can sell.
But we're in quite a remote place. Is it quite difficult to get the alcohol here?
No, actually, just from here, 6 kilometers down, there's a city, Varkala main center. So there is a government alcohol shop, and we can get from there how much we want.
Right, okay. Yeah, and they don't question if you're like a 5-star hotel?
Not questions. They will not ask because the government allowed one person 3-liter alcohol and 2 beer and some wines.
Okay.
So we mentioned to go there every day and take how much we want.
So my last question is, what measures do you take to sort of hide it? So you put the drinks on the floor, what else do you do?
Yeah, it's not a kind of freedom, so we have to give it some kind of teapot inside beer and put under the table. And
so it's like special tea?
Yeah, it's special tea. It's kind of fun, we really don't like, but we have to do it.
I think it's good. It's different. Like, so we've never experienced this, so we can come here and every time I look at a teapot now, I'm going to think of the Darjeeling calf.
Specialty.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much, guys. It was really nice to meet you here and probably enjoy your trip. And Goa is more freedom. You will see everywhere fucking beer and alcohol.
Someone told me in Goa you can get anything you want. What does that mean? I don't know.
Anything you want, like anything from drink, smoke and whatever in this world happening. So you will have everything. And
sounds
party
good.
Are more fun, like full power, full music, no problem.
So yeah, he was a really good guy. We got to know a few of the guys that worked there quite well from the 2 days we were there. The first night, I remember they were asking for someone to plug in their iPhone and be a DJ. So I'll do it. So then from then on, I was known as DJ Nick from London.
Yeah.
I was like, yeah. but they were really good guys. We just kind of got chat. Both nights we were there, got chatting with them and had a really good time with them. And there was a few of them at the back. Yeah, they were passing around this funny cigarette. I don't know what that was all about. But we had a really good time with them. Like, really nice, friendly guys. And he seems like quite a good entrepreneur. He's really young as well, wasn't he?
Yeah, like, cool guy.
Definitely the most popular bar at the whole town.
Yeah, 100%. There's, like, no doubt about it. And also, you got into a bit of dabbing when you were there? Bit of dancing, bit of dabbing?
Yeah, there'll be plenty of pictures online. Me and, I forgot his name already. What's his name?
Binood.
Me and Binood, my mate. Yeah, we had some funny pictures done. And me with him and then me with the group as well. But really nice, friendly guys.
And you can find them on our Instagram, which is What The Faux Podcast on Instagram. We've also got Twitter as well, at Faux Podcast, if you want to check that out too. So later that night, when we were at the Darjeeling Cafe for the second time, we met a guy called Daniel, who we'd met like a few days previous in Varkala, didn't we?
Yeah.
He was traveling on his own and he was literally the most brave traveler I've ever met. Like, we'll just boldly walk up to someone and just start talking to them. And you can tell everyone's like, why is he talking to me? What does he want? But he just wants to chat and just meet other people because he's traveling on his own. So later that night, Daniel had been drinking quite a bit. So we thought we'd grab him for a quick chat just before he got a bit too drunk where he couldn't talk. But we asked him what he's doing in Varkala.
Varkala? I'm enjoying the beach. Yeah, it's a pretty chill place to be.
Why are you in India? What are your travel plans?
I've been in India before when I was 20. I'm 28 now and I enjoyed it then. But now I'm doing it solo. And I don't know, it's a different traveling experience, isn't it? Because general traveling, you meet a lot of other travelers and you're quite in a touristy world, but India is quite a leg away from that. You can go a long time without meeting anyone from another country other than India, and it kind of forces you to be part of the local and what's happening here and get really in it.
Where's been your favorite place in India so far?
I haven't seen much of India. It's been 2 weeks, so I haven't seen much. I think I've enjoyed Varkala the most because it's been very chilled. This is the longest I've stayed in one place. Normally I jump after 3 days, go to the next place. But I've really enjoyed Varkala for the fact time seems to go drift by very slowly but very quick at the same time. You just enjoy doing what you're doing. But other than that, so far I've been to Munnar and a few other places. But Munnar was lovely because it's been in the middle of tea plantations, which really is stepping back in time. It's seeing a colonial India that hasn't really changed much, and that is quite a nice little thing to see, a bit of history. But I'm going to be going to Bangalore after that, a bit of Hampi, Goa, and then Mumbai, and a lot of places in between, so I'm looking forward to seeing a lot more stuff. So
awesome.
So you're kind of doing like a similar route to us, and 2 years ago we travelled northern India, and we've been here for 3 days now, back in India now. And when you're saying like it's nice to go back in time, we realised that Trivandrum's really like built up, and you can really tell how educated everyone is compared to the north. Like, have you found the same thing?
Kerala itself is like the richest, most educated state there is in India, so it's a different, completely different world to the rest of India from what I know. Although myself, I haven't seen any other part of India than Kerala, so I have to wait till I see it. But I've heard that like North India is a completely different world. Some people described it as being back in Aladdin, so I have to see myself.
Yeah, you can really tell the difference. And also when you were talking about travelling, have you been other places in Asia?
So far I've travelled Indonesia on my own, which is, okay. I say Indonesia is a lot, it's a big space and a lot of islands. I've travelled Java, Bali and Lombok, but that was completely different because again, it's a traveller's paradise. People go there to travel, so you get the culture and you get locked into like being away from it all, but you are not too far from it. A huge settlement or a hostel of travellers where you can meet, 10 or 20 people one go, whereas here, you can go to some places where, even busy places where you're lucky if you meet 5 people travelling, which means you have to just get in, either be prepared to be travelling on your own and do your own thing, or get right in with the locals and see what they're up to.
Absolutely. Like, the one thing that, struck me really quickly when we met you was you just kind of came over to our table and just started talking to us. Like, you're so brave to do that. Yeah. I think it's hard to travel on your own, but you seem to be doing pretty well. You've got the balls to go up to people. It's good.
And yeah, you couldn't do that back home in London, could you? You couldn't be in a bar and just go sit next to some random strangers and start talking to them. Well, maybe you would, most people would find that a bit weird.
No, my friends, for the moment I'm traveling, my friends were like, you're going to be sorted, because literally any bar, any club, what I do is walk up to random people and start talking to them.
It's good, it's healthy. I think London needs to adopt that a lot more.
Yeah, I think some people do, but the secret is doing it. It's like the first time you lean to kiss a girl, you think it's going to go terribly, you think like, oh my God, not only is she going to freak out, but everyone around me is going to freak out, everyone's going to point at me and scream, but actually you lean in, and whether it goes well or goes badly, it happens and everyone moves on. And talking to strangers is the same thing. You go up to them, say, how are you doing? And the worst thing that can ever happen is they don't want to talk to you. You walk away, you never see them again. And that never actually happens.
And so, when, if ever, are you going home, back to London?
When and ever? That's the question that puts dread and fear in both my family and my friends. I don't know, really. I've saved up my money to travel for the next 4 months. India, Nepal, Vietnam after that. But then I've been recently inspired to maybe just drop a flight over to Australia and start working, where there is good money to be made and a good 1-year to 2-year visa if you're willing to do it. So when and ever, I don't know.
So that was Dan. He turned into a bit of a private joke with the whole group, because on our trip he was either following us or just by coincidence we bumped into him like another 2 or 3 times, didn't
we? In different places in India. And we were just like, why does he keep cropping up? What's going on? But no, really, really nice guy. After Varkala, we went to Kerala's Backwaters, which is one of the most famous places in the south of India, because you can do this quite famous boat tour. And how would you describe the boats?
The boats, well, what we were on was like a houseboat. It had like proper bedrooms and like a seating area where
kitchen.
You can, yeah, and when a good seating area where you can kind of see all the views go by. But yes, then boat tours that are really popular. You can do some kind of canoe, smaller canoe
tours.
Oh,
I mean, like, explain the boats because they look weird, don't they? Like, we'll put pictures up on our social media and stuff, but what was it on the outside? They were like covered in leaves or like.
Yeah, some sort of wood or.
Wood?
Yeah, branch.
It's probably coconut wood.
They fucking love coconuts, we told you. Yeah, so it's come from some kind of wooden branch design on the outside. But all the houseboats, yeah, they look very similar. Kind of, they've got this round shape about them, haven't they? It reminds me actually of something off Teletubbies, you know, where they used to live.
Yeah.
In the hills, in the ground or whatever.
So
it was.
True.
Yeah, but that was a really nice, chill day. We were on this. On this boat tour for like 6 hours, I think. We could just sit and chill, watch the world go by, and it was a beautiful place. And then we had lunch cooked for us, which was one of the best meals we had on the trip. But I'll tell the listeners...
This is just sort of turning into a bit of brag time, isn't it?
Well, that's what travel story is all about. Welcome to the good life.
I just wanted to put that in
there. Brag time. So for you, those of you who don't know what the Kerala backwaters are. Basically, they're just a chain of lagoons and lakes lying parallel to the coast. This network includes 5 large lakes linked by canals, some natural and some are man-made. They're fed by 38 different rivers and extend about half the length of Kerala. So if you look on a map, it's actually quite impressive the area this place covers. But I really, really enjoy this day. It's such a beautiful part of the world, wasn't it? And then that evening was a treat because we had a homestay with a local family. And when we arrive, really nice family, really nice house as well.
Really nice. Like they were well off.
They were doing all right, yeah. but really nice family. There were at the time 3 generations were living there.
The
little grandkid was very cute, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So we stayed there the night with the family and we were taking a little walk along the river where one of the guys that lives in the house was telling us some facts about the backwaters and about Kerala.
And guess what we mostly spoke about?
Coconuts.
Coconuts.
He wouldn't fucking shut up about coconuts. Oh my God.
Quite rightly so. It's literally built everything that he lives on.
It's the land of coconuts.
Yeah. So the place is called Ayanas Homestay, and that's Ayanas. And we had a chat with Vinit, and he is the... Not the grandson and not the granddad, the one in the middle.
Yeah, the guy.
He's the dad.
He's the dad of the grandkid.
Yeah.
So he's the dad of his son.
Yeah.
This makes no sense.
It really doesn't. But we asked him, if you're not on this particular tour that we did, how can you go about staying at a Ayanas homestay?
We have group arrivals and people can search us on the website like TripAdvisor and other booking sites or on our website too.
So how would they be able to find this particular house? What's the name of the house?
It's called Ayanas Homestay.
Cool. We've had a really nice time here. You took us for a walk along the waters and told us some really interesting facts about Kerala. And could you just briefly explain, you said, what the word Kerala actually means?
Kerala means coconut. And La means land. So Kerala means land of coconut.
Okay, and you said that every curry, if it's from Kerala, it has to have coconut in it.
That's right. Coconut is one of the main ingredients. It can be grated coconut, chopped coconut, coconut milk, coconut oil. Coconut has to be there.
So we've arrived on like a group tour, but if, say, for example, if me and Nick wanted to come like on our own, how would we get here? Because, for example, yesterday we did tour on a boat and we were on it for like 5 hours to get here. But if we were traveling on our own, how would we get here?
On our website and also on TripAdvisor and other sites, we have our email address or our phone number, which you can get in touch with us and we will organize either a taxi or something or recommend how to come to us.
You live kind of half here in India and half in the USA, is that correct? What's your situation?
So I live 6 months here and 6 months in Phoenix, Arizona. But my heart still is here and but I love it in the US too, but most of the time I spend it here.
Okay, but there's always someone in the house. Your father is always here, is that right?
Yeah, my parents manage the house while I'm not here. And they are actually the soul of the homestay.
That was Vinit. Thanks very much for speaking to us. Like I say, really nice family. And what a place to stay. Right on one of the main rivers. Beautiful place. So I really would recommend it.
Definitely a highlight of the trip, wasn't it?
Yeah, one of the highlights for sure.
Right, up next, we went to Kochi, which is the place that our tour guide, Afshar, came from. So he was quite like excited to show us his hometown and stuff like that. Now, I don't know about you, but as soon as we arrived, I noticed a massive difference. It was a lot more modern, despite the fact of like Kochi is a place for like fishing, and it was kind of like a what's the word I'm looking for?
What is not the word? Fort. I'm looking for.
It's a
not a fort.
What's Harwich? It's
a port.
Like a port.
Not. It's like a fort on water. Oh, a port.
And it begins with P.
A port town.
A port town. So there's a lot of fishing and stuff like that going on. But in terms of the people, especially the young people, it was just a lot more modern. They weren't really wearing traditional dress like the other places. So no saris or dotties, which are like the male skirt wraps that they wear. And they all wore Western clothing.
Yeah.
A bit like our tour guide, Asher. I did notice that when we first met him, he wasn't very traditional. But as soon as we arrived in Kochi, I was like, okay, I get it now.
Yeah.
And the first place that we ate there as well was very London style fresh caff, where it's like you eat all of the like the in foods, whether that's avocado that year, and it was a really nice caff, but it wasn't Indian at all.
Yeah, right. It was an art gallery / cafe.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I suppose a part of me is thinking, come on, I want to see some proper India. But Kochi was still nice, and some of the old town was quite interesting to see. There was some church or cathedral, which was like the first ever church ever built by Westerners or by Europeans.
Dutch palace.
The Dutch, was that? Oh yeah,
it was the Dutch palace, but it was built by the Portuguese.
Yeah, you following us? And actually, I think fun fact about Kochi. I hope this is true. Otherwise, I've got it wrong. But I'm pretty sure Kochi was the first place that Europeans ever landed in India. I think it was.
Oh, okay. Yeah. We'll check that. I don't remember that. But
I think that's true. Hey, it was an interesting place. It was quite nice to walk along the seafront and see these big, they're called Chinese fishing nets because that's just a style of fishing, but these big Chinese fishing nets going into the lake and picking up all the fish. And there's quite a bit to see around there. I liked Kochi.
So other things that you can do in Kochi that we didn't, it's just not really, it doesn't really float our boat. You can see St. Francis Church or the Jewish synagogue as well. We did go to the Dutch Palace. It kind of flopped a little bit that trip because we were there for what, 10? No.
Less than 10 minutes, I think.
Yeah, because you go in and they were super strict with like taking pictures and stuff.
There's nothing to see apart from some pictures that were hanging up inside, like some paintings. Georgia on our group, she took some pictures and then got told off, and then they went through her phone. They even went through her deleted file pictures on her iPhone. They were really strict then, but there wasn't really much to take pictures of, was there?
I
was not impressed with the Dutch palace, so I wouldn't recommend that.
So also in Kochi, we went to our famous Kathakali dance.
Oh my God, I'd forgotten about this, thankfully. Yeah. But, oh God.
Now imagine feeling like you want to soak up some Indian culture. You go for a night out. Before dinner, you go see a show. You think it's going to be great. It's going to be traditional. You're going to feel like you know a lot about India. And then you turn up at a Kathakali dance.
Where do we start?
Kathakali dancing is about acting with your face. They just sit in a chair and they can act with their eyes. And by the, it freaked me out. They just move their eyes from side to side and dance to the music. I say music, banging on a drum for 3 hours in ringing my eardrums.
Yeah, and there's two like cymbals that you bang together. Ding, 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 ding.
That's all I remember. Bing, bing, bing. And I was just like, oh my God, I'm going deaf.
There's one guy singing, going, ay, ay, ay. That was actually such a good impression of him.
We are bang on that.
That is actually what he sounded like.
But you can turn up before the show starts and watch the guys put their makeup on. It's not a drag show. It's makeup.
Looks like. One of them was dressed up as a woman.
He was actually, yeah. We saw only a small fraction of a larger story. And the only way I can sort of explain this whole thing was if you've seen that film Tropical Thunder?
Yeah,
with
Thunder.
Ben Stiller, and he gets captured by the tribe and he's forced to act this film every night and put the makeup on. And when he goes, you make my eyes ring.
Yeah, what was it, like Simple Joe? Or
Simple Jack.
Simple Jack.
Yeah. Make my eyes ring in my head movies.
The costume and the makeup he was wearing was quite similar.
Yeah. So I just imagine it's very tribal. I actually don't regret going because I feel like I did learn from it. But
yeah, anyone should go. I mean, the costumes and the makeup and the face paint's amazing.
Yeah. And if you're into like conceptual acting and all of that, which Georgia on the trip was, she found it quite interesting, and I get that. But yeah, it was just a bit too much and too long for us.
It's an interesting idea, acting with just facial expressions.
But if our singing and everything wasn't good enough, why don't you have a listen for yourself?
Thank you.
our next stop was Perea. Okay, so this is kind of like a national park type place, despite the fact that we never went into the bloody national park.
This is embarrassing, yeah.
But it was a great place.
We're just staying in this town nearby, but yeah, we never actually went into the national park.
But on the journey from Kochi to Perea, we kind of came up with a few games to pass the time, one of them being from a book that I own, which is called The Book of Questions. Now, this book asks you some pretty weird shit.
Some of them are dark.
They really are. But it kind of set off another game of Would You Rather, didn't it? So, for example, some of the questions in this book of questions is stuff like, would you like your partner to be much smarter and much more attractive than you? If so, what is it about you that might hold his or her interest and love? Mm-hmm. So, you know, stuff like that. A lot of it is about dying being terminally ill.
Are you asking me, like, would I like my partner to be more good looking than me?
Yeah, go on then.
Yeah, I'm happy with that.
You've already got that, my
friend. Exactly. It's already a reality.
Right. Can we play game time now?
Proper game time.
Okay, so we thought we'd set up a game of Would You Rather.
Yeah, this turned into the most popular game of the trip. I know Would You Rather is a bit silly. Like, we saw our friend Carl Watson the other night for a drink, and we're playing this game with him, and he's like, I fucking hate Would You Rather, because there's a stupid question like, would you rather shoot yourself in the face or shoot yourself in the dick? But this actually did turn into such a funny game while we were away.
It really did, yeah. So if you're not familiar with the game, you literally have two options that are so bad you don't know which one to pick.
Can I give you an example?
Oh, I was going to give you an example. Okay, so my example is something like, you can get hit with a balloon filled with vomit or hit in the face with a rock.
Vomit, definitely.
Really? I don't know. I have a
You'd
fear of...
You'd rather get hit in the face of a rock.
I have a fear of vomit. Right, what was your example?
I have a fear of rocks. So my example, one of the overnight trains we did, I asked you guys, would you rather spend the whole train journey, about 13 hours, in the toilet because the toilet stank?
So gross.
Oh my God. And by the way, I actually did do a squat. I did a squat poo in an Indian style toilet, which is the hole in the floor. Actually, it felt really good. Like,
and it was the highlight of the trip.
It got
it
all out. I felt
shut up about it.
I felt well proud of myself.
Wait, can we just go into this a little bit? So, did you have to fully strip to do this?
Just took my trousers and my underwear off.
And how did you balance?
There's a pole you hold on to, but I used a bit of tissue paper like around my hands to then hold on to it. I didn't want to touch it. But when you're proper, squatting.
When you're proper bent over, was that neat?
When you're proper squatting, it just comes out so easy. It all comes out really well.
Great. I'm so happy for you. Good to know.
Yeah, would you rather spend the whole night in the train toilets or just lick the toilet quickly with your tongue?
Oh, this is such a gross question. I can't remember what I said before.
You would have probably rather spent the whole journey in the toilet.
I think I would have done that, yeah.
But 13 hours, I've got to stress to people, it fucking stank.
It burnt my nose hair.
Yep. So you'd rather do 13 hours of that rather than just quickly touch the toilet with your tongue?
Yeah. I think you would get really ill if you did that.
Yeah, probably would. Anyway, we're not even playing the game yet.
Okay. So we've got three questions each. Kind of tried to keep it relating to travel. Three questions each. Do you want to start?
Yes, I do. Okay, question one for you, Amy. This is travel related. Would you rather travel South America and Africa over the next couple of years for free? You can have them completely for free.
Okay.
And then after that, it means you can't travel again. Or would you just do how we do, pay for our trips? So, yeah, South America and Africa for free, but then after that you can't travel again, or just carry on life as we are now.
Oh, I would carry on life. I'd pay for my trips.
I completely agree, but I've got another one for you quickly, just to add on to that. South America and Africa for free, and then after that, you can only travel to Europe. You can't leave Europe.
No, I'd carry on paying again because there's so many places I haven't been that want to go, like Japan and China. Yeah.
I think that's the right answer. I knew you'd say that, but I thought I'd ask. Yeah. Go on. What have you got for me?
Okay, so mine's quite dark, standard. Would you rather live in the slums of Rio, work in the drug trade, constantly having gangs after you who have guns, right? Or live in Thailand and work in the sex trade as a ladyboy?
Oh my God. Oh, shit. What would I have to do as a ladyboy, like, everything?
You'd have, like, a residency in a club. Every night you have to dress up and do, a pole dance. thing. I haven't been to a ladyboy show.
Do I have to?
No. And then you fulfill your duties later on.
I have to like suck people off.
At least one guy a night.
I'd rather do the Rio one. Live in the slum.
Really? And have people chase you with guns and fearing for your life.
Yeah, I just pretend it's like a real life episode of Breaking Bad and just try to have fun with it.
Have fun with guns. Okay.
Well, all right, sorry, I don't want to suck guys' dicks every night.
Right, just want to put it out there that What the Faux Travel Podcast is not claiming that anyone should do these things. Do not try this at home. This is a disclaimer. We're not making you do this. Okay, question two.
What, sucking dick?
Let's move on.
We should try that at home.
Oh, I'm not fulfilling my wife duties, am I?
Let's carry on quickly. It doesn't get any better now. This is not travel related. This is just filth. Bearing in mind, on the trip, some of these were disgusting. They normally involved having sex with family members.
Oh, it's so gross.
Right. Okay, let's imagine that I've sewn up your puss. Yep, your pussy's sewn up.
Oh, my God.
Nothing's going in or out of that ever. Okay, and you can only have it in one of these two holes.
Oh, no.
You can only, from now on, only have it in the bum or the mouth. Which one do you pick?
Oh, my God. This is horrendous. You've got to answer this after.
What? But I haven't got a puss to sew up. All right, go on.
Sew up your japs eye. Oh, now fingers. Oh, I actually don't know which one to pick.
What, because you want them both?
Yeah, I just can't pick. They're just too damn good. I think I'll have to go with the bum hole.
Yeah, you choose.
Yeah, I'll have to go with the ass. Yeah.
Really? Oh, wow, okay.
Why are you so surprised?
Okay. No, that's fine. Okay, that's good. I'm glad you've answered that one.
Mine's going to go a bit more serious now. Okay, let's go into a bit of politics, because I love it. So would you rather have Donald Trump as president in America and therefore controlling a lot of the world, but you can travel, you personally can travel as much as you like, just like you do now?
Okay.
Or the most decent politician known to man, like the nicest guy, really trustworthy, as America's president, but you are restricted to staying in this country, staying at home in the UK. So Donald Trump, and you can have a great life, or sacrifice everybody's well-being, and you can't travel.
Oh my God, yes, for the good of the world.
That's difficult, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I just want to travel. If you told me I was stuck in the UK, although I love it, it's not my favourite country, if I was stuck here in the UK, I'd feel so claustrophobic. Every now and then, I need to get out and explore.
Mm.
I just have to hope that Trump turns out to be an all right guy.
I think he's great.
No.
Joking, is a joke.
What a guy.
Oh,
I'd have to be selfish. What about you?
Yeah, I'm going to go with the travel
one. Sorry, rest of the world.
I've just realised something.
What?
We didn't play around with our jingles before the game started.
Should we do that at the end of the game?
Let's do it at the end. Okay. So we've got third and final questions, right?
Okay. Yeah, third final question. This is a travel question. So, would you rather have one big trip per year, let's just say a month long, or four little one-week trips per year?
Four little one-week trips.
Even though that restricts how far you can go.
No.
You can't really go to, like, Australia or New Zealand just for a week.
I'd do it. If that was my only choice, I'd do it.
Yeah, so four little trips. Yeah, yeah. I'd rather space them out as well.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I've saved my best one till last. I'm not going to lie about this one. I didn't come up with this myself. I wouldn't want anyone to think I came up with this myself. Got it off the internet. Would you rather get your fingers pulled off?
Okay.
Yeah, just that. Or have someone pull your bum cheeks apart so so your anus rips.
so all the fingers.
Imagine
up.
That. Someone grabbing your bum, pulling your cheeks apart until your anus rips. Is that not the most hideous thing ever?
I can tell you got it off the internet because you're calling it anus.
Yeah.
Bum hole. The bum hole. Oh my God. All fingers pulled off or have my ass ripped. I'll go for the ass ripped. Yeah, for sure.
You just want to know what it feels like, don't you?
I don't want my fingers pulled off. What about you?
I feel like the anus one would be way more painful, but you can't live without your fingers, really.
Can you live without your anus?
Can you live without my anus, Nick? That is the question.
Well, not if your pussy's sewn up. Oh my God, this is filth.
Right, so that was Would You Rather, but let's do the jingles now. So we didn't make one. We thought we'd sing it and have a bit of a competition. So as we were coming up with that idea, you were like, we should have like millionaire music in the background. Who wants to be a millionaire? So this is my one up against yours, okay? This is the jingle I think we should have.
Okay.
Dun, 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 dun. Who would you fuck, your mum or your dad?
Do I have to do it? It's the same theme tune? Can I do a different theme tune?
Oh, whatever you want.
Okay. Would you rather, rather fuck your mum or your dad?
You stole my line.
Okay, so that was Would You Rather. It did give us a lot of entertainment on our travels, even though it's very childish.
It's
not big, it's not clever.
It got dark. It got so dark.
Okay, should we carry on with our trip? Because you said our next stop was Paria? Paria?
Yeah, that was the national park place we were talking about.
So what did we do when we were there?
We went for a massage.
We did. Yeah, that was actually part of... I know we had to pay for it, didn't we? That was an extra.
Yeah, I got put in a funeral box.
We all did. I didn't like this massage. I don't know what we should have researched the style. Actually, is it written down there? What style of massage is it?
It's Ayurvedic massage.
Okay.
Ayurvedic. It's basically masseuses on coke going super fast.
Well, yeah, like really fast, and they cover you, like drench you in oil, but like way, way too much. Like they use like a gallon of it on you, and it's
what,
just,
you like that, Nick?
Let's definitely move on. They use way, way too much. It's like drip, and they put it all in your hair as well. And it wasn't really a good massage. And the guy I had like kept talking to me, and they make you wear these humiliating little paper pants as well.
I love the paper pants.
I just didn't. And yeah, at the end of the massage, like you said, you get in, you have a little steam bath thing, but you just get in like this coffin with like a head cut out. So you stick your head out of this wooden box.
It's so scary.
And yeah, it's proper old school. It's like a pot of water next to you over the stove. So then you're like pumping in the steam, and it was just a bit too hot, and I didn't like it.
I liked it a bit more than you, but I did not like what happened to me after. I got really ill, didn't I? But massages normally tend to do this to me because it releases all the poison into your body. And I had like a chill in the evening, yeah. You know, just like physically shaking in bed. I couldn't get warm. So.
Yeah, you were really ill, but we both felt really run down after the massage. So
did Casey, like a lot of us did.
So didn't really like that. But when we were all...
So yeah, go to India.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the national park itself, you're supposed to go into the national park. You've got to pay to get in. And you can do like canoe rides. You can do like some sort of safari. We didn't do it because, well, two reasons. One, last time we was at a similar place in Nepal, Chichwan, the safari and everything was actually really rubbish.
The most exciting thing we saw was an ant.
Yeah, like we didn't see any animals. It was a really bad value for money. And also, we weren't there for very long. We wanted just to chill out a bit because we've been on the road for quite a while now.
I know what we did there. We went to the spice farm.
Oh, yes. How could we miss the spice farm? That was actually on the way to Paria National Park.
We'd just done a long journey and we kind of stopped 10 minutes before our hotel or hostel. Yeah, and we met up with this guy who has been on a BBC documentary, no less.
He has, yeah, around the world in 80 gardens. Basically, this spice farm was a guy's house, and he had this really impressive garden which was just full of all different like herbs and spices, and he picks different like plant leaves, and he says, chew that, and you're like, oh, that tastes like cinnamon, or oh, that tastes like curry, and you know, that's where all the flavours come from, and I thought it's quite interesting. But the one bit I didn't enjoy...
Yeah.
He was growing some chilies, and I've never seen chilies so small. They were tiny. And
not great.
People do say the smaller, the more spicy. So Josh on our group tried a bit, and he spat out the seeds because he's a clever guy. And he was like, cool, fuck, that's spicy. But, you know.
How'd it go?
Cool, fuck. Oh, fucking hell. He was like.
It was not common at all.
He said, that's spicy. But he said, but you know, I'm all right. I'm not a pussy. But I didn't really know you're supposed to spit it out. So I took I took this bite.
You ate the whole chili?
Yeah.
And the seeds.
Swallowed it. And then, cried. You tell me. I started to look like I was going to kind of faint.
Yeah, I actually have never seen you look that ill so quickly. You went pale and then you looked like you were going to faint. And I was actually really worried about you.
And I had loads of like saliva like dribbling out my mouth. Like I got rabies or something. And then my stomach suddenly bloated, like really big. It was sticking out. And I just felt in such a bad way. And you were saying to the guy that lives there, it was like, he swallowed the whole chili. And he was like, no, 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 if you do that, you're in trouble. He didn't do that. And you're like, he did. I just hoping that was going to be okay. And it was okay. After like half an hour, I felt fine. But holy shit.
Again, that's going to be on the video. So if you want to see Nick suffer,
it'll all be on the video.
It'll all be that, yeah.
And what will also be on the video is this guy that was showing us around his garden.
Yes.
This guy, he had the most impressive ear hair you've ever seen in your life.
It was amazing. It
oh
really
my
was.
God. I've never, like these two big bushes, literally like black hair coming out of his ears.
And grey.
And we were told by our tour guide that he tells people he's got two gardens. One's out the back of his house and the other's in his ears. It was incredible.
Led. Yeah. And he made us lunch as well when we first got there.
Oh, yeah.
From all the spices and everything from his garden. And it was
brilliant.
Good.
We went out for dinner a couple of nights. One night we actually had a few drinks.
Got proper drunk.
Yeah.
I did draw a pussy on the wall.
You did. You drew a vagina.
Someone told me to draw a vagina on the wall, so I did.
They had a big blackboard where you can write in chalk.
Oh, yeah. I wasn't just vandalising India.
No. So also while we were at Paria National Park, we had a cooking class arranged by Geckos, by a tour company. And again, went to a family's house. And the guy was really funny, wasn't he? He was a bit of a comedian.
Yeah.
The cook, the chef.
He kept saying things in like a really weird way. So if he was telling us to mix up whatever was in the wok or the frying pan, he'd be like, mixing, mixing.
Yeah, stirring, stirring.
Rolling, rolling.
It was fucking mental. But it was really interesting to cook all this food. So we all cooked it as a big group. And we had this really nice meal.
Oh,
and can I say,
amazing.
We were all wearing traditional Indian clothes.
We were. So when we was back in Kochi, where Afshar, our guide, lives, we went on a bit of a shopping trip, and because it was Onam Festival, so Onam Festival goes on for about a fortnight, and the days leading up to the last day, you'll see all these really pretty flower petal arrangements in like shops and hotels, anywhere that you can arrive and there's a step or anything. And you might have seen something similar in places like Thailand, where they leave the banana leaves outside their house and they've got loads of pretty like incense and stuff. It's kind of like a good luck thing. Some of these petal arrangements look unbelievable, don't they?
Yeah,
what they,
really
how they
good.
Can make them look, it looks really good. Casey, the American woman we were traveling with, walked straight into one and just ruined it all over the floor.
Fucked it up.
And then couldn't stop apologising. It was quite funny for us, not for her. But then on the last day, it's kind of like a family day. Everybody dresses up in traditional dress, meets the family, has a meal together. They go to church, temple and all of that. And it's just like a really nice family day. And that's Onam Festival. Onam Festival.
Happy Onam.
So that was really nice to be in India for a festival as well, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's why we dressed up, and that was really cool.
Yeah, so we were in with the family, had a great cooking lesson, and again, that will be on my epic video.
Yes, it will. So after that, we moved on to a place called
Madurai.
Right, what do you think of Madurai?
So this was the place that we didn't like. Well, it was our least favourite, wasn't it?
Yeah. That's fair to say.
We were only there for a little bit. Wasn't too much there to do. There was a lot of like temples and stuff like that. Although there was the Gandhi Museum, which I really enjoyed.
Yeah, that was really interesting. And we learned a lot, actually, mainly about how the English have been pricks over the years. But for those of you that don't know, Mahatma Gandhi was the leader of the Indian independence movement when Britain ruled India. So he was born in Western India, he studied in London, then moved and worked as a lawyer in South Africa. So for way back, you know, how long ago it was, he's already lived quite an impressive life, but he went back to India and yeah, he ended up being the leader of, you know, the group which helped India become independent. So he's quite a big deal. He believed in doing things without violence. The British did not always share this opinion, unfortunately. Despite this, Gandhi insists that Britain and India went their separate ways as friends. And it was eye-opening and interesting, and we should have known more about him before, actually, but we didn't, but now we do.
Yeah.
But also in Madurai, we went to quite an impressive-looking temple, and we had a funny tour guide. His nickname was Prince Charles. So his name was Charles, is that right?
Yeah, but they called him Prince Charles. I'm not really too sure of the joke behind that, but
okay.
He was quite a comedian.
He was a funny guy, and he told us a very funny story about, he was saying how in Indian cinema, quite often, when a man sees a woman getting undressed, the next scene you see in the film is them with the baby. He's going to take a girl out on a date. This is going to be his first date ever. And he went up to the house and he saw through a window this girl getting changed. And then he's thinking, oh my God, I'm going to have a baby with her. I'm going to have to marry her. And he says, I don't want to marry this girl. But he was a real comedian, real funny.
Yeah, really funny. That was Meenakshi Temple. That's Meenakshi Temple.
Yeah. And yeah, we're not really temple people, but it was quite good, wasn't it?
It was, yeah, it was good. But that was pretty much what Madurai was. From there, we took our first out of three overnight trains from
there, didn't we?
And that took us to Mysore. And the first one, I think, was about 16 hours.
Yeah, it's quite a long one. And I hated this first journey. I couldn't get any sleep. And yeah, it was rubbish.
But I actually enjoy the overnight trains. I think it's definitely an experience that you need to take on board. And you need to do that if you want to experience India.
For sure. The other two journeys I quite enjoyed. But yeah, just be prepared. Soap, wet wipes, antibacterial, whatever. Make sure you can make a comfy bed. You need a good, a decent pillow.
But they do provide you with blankets, pillows and stuff like that. But, you know, you can always have your home comforts with you.
Yes.
So that took us to Mysore. Now,
I liked Mysore. Well, I thought it was quite a nice town. Quite Indian, quite traditional. Wasn't that developed or westernised, I should say. But one of the cool things you can do there is you can walk up this big hill and you get a great view of the city. And we was actually chatting to a random Indian guy on the way up. And he says once a week he walks up or runs up the hill. And it's just a little routine that he likes to do. And I can see the appeal of it. It was actually quite a nice walk, wasn't it? 1,000 steps,
yeah,
I think.
It was 1,000 steps. That's the big thing about it. There's 1,000. Although I think there's like 1,050 or something like that. When you get to the top, there's a big stupa-like temple.
Which was undergoing maintenance while we were there. So it had scaffolding all around it. We didn't see any of it.
Yeah. So by the time we got to the top, I was like, oh, I'm so glad I walked up these 1,050 steps to get here. But it was actually really good to wake up early that morning, get out, do some exercise and get back and start the day.
Yeah. And Mysore was also the place where the famous haircut happened. I got my haircut in Mysore and you hated it.
Yeah. So the next day we had a free day and we didn't really know what to do. So what do you do when you're bored? You go to a spa.
When you're traveling, for a massage and all sorts.
It was a really nice upmarket salon, but it kind of separated guys from girls. So you went to the men's area.
And I had a very weird experience.
You did. We'll explain that in a sec. And then we had the girls' experience. Josh didn't come with us, so you were on your own. And we was upstairs, you know, having foot massages, pedicures, getting our nails done, feeling great. Weirdly had Karate Kid on the TV. So, you know, we were just chilling out, having a chill day. I walk downstairs into your room, walk in to find you laying on a chair being massaged by a guy in a pink shirt telling you how good looking you are.
Right, let me explain. First, I got my hair cut, which was really bad. He put like lines in the side of my head. It looked terrible.
You looked like you had an asbo.
But I wasn't there on my own. There was another Indian guy called Ravi because he was asking me all sorts of questions. He was saying, how much does this cost in London? How much does this cost? What about this? What about this? And every time I set the title on how much something cost, him, the guy cutting his hair and the guy cutting my hair, they all went... Every time I said, oh, it's 50 quid for this. Anyway... Ravi was telling me, he goes, have you been to Bangkok before? I'm like, yeah, I've been before. He's like, do you have a good time? Like winking at me. I'm like, well, I was with my wife. We had a lovely time. It was like, I would never bring my wife to Bangkok. So Ravi's wife, if you live in Mysore, your husband goes to Bangkok and fucks Thai girls. All right? He told me that. And he seemed well chuffed with himself. After Ravi, the player, left... and my haircut was done. I got my feet done because when you're traveling, you're always wearing flip flops. Your feet get disgusting. I thought,
you justify why you want some guy massaging and cleaning.
Wash my feet, get a massage, get all the dead skin off. Love it. And as he's doing my feet, this guy's looking at me in the eye, and he goes, "Sir, you are very good looking." I'm like, "What do you say back to that?" Okay, he said, "You look like the England cricketer Stuart Broad." I'm like, all right. I Googled him later. I do not look like Stuart Broad.
We should put up a comparison picture on our Instagram.
Yeah, we'll do it. But this brings me on to one thing I quickly want to say about India. It's illegal to be gay, but men are very close. They hold hands. They say, I love you. That's what you say to your friends. I love you. And apparently, like, it's fine to tell a man, oh, you know, I think you're really good looking. But what do you say back to that?
Actually, no, I'm going to take that back. So they are very touchy-feely. So, yeah, you see guys walking down the street holding hands or, like, laying down cuddling and stuff like that. But we did ask our guide, Afshar, is it normal for another guy to say, you're very good looking? And he was like, oh, no, 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 he like you.
He was telling him he's got a wife and kids.
That was a really shit accent with
he
Afshar.
Like you.
He doesn't talk like that.
I like sex. So anyway, Mysore, overall, I really like Mysore. I thought it was quite a nice place.
So moving on to there was our second of three overnight trains. And it was going to Hampi. Now, this is one of the places I was really looking forward to going to because everywhere in India we went, they were always saying, are you going to Hampi? Are you going to Hampi? It's really nice. Everybody really liked it. And I kind of got the impression before going to both Hampi and Goa, it was the calmer, less touristy Goa.
Okay. Yeah, yeah.
So very hippie. And I think that is what Hampi was. I would say Hampi was my favourite place.
Oh, okay. I really liked it. I think actually Varkala was my favourite, mainly because of the Darjeeling Caff. But yeah, Hampi was, again, it was another kind of version of Varkala. Proper hippie town, very chilled out. And we had a very funny incident while we were shopping for some souvenirs.
Oh, my God.
We were asking this guy for restaurants nearby, and we said, do they serve drink? And he was like, you want drink?
We were talking normally, but then just suddenly started whispering.
Yeah, so he obviously sells drink on the side. So he's like, he's whispering in case anyone's listening, you want drink? You want alcohol? And he's like, you want marijuana? And then suddenly we're like, why are we all whispering?
What's going on?
Then I suddenly whispered in the background, do you have any heroin? He didn't understand what I said. I didn't buy any heroin.
I think he was trying to sell us some stuff on the side though, yeah. Wasn't he? He loved it.
You want alcohol? That was a really funny experience. But then we did find a restaurant where we thought, you know what, rather than go sightseeing, we just want to sit down, order a few beers and play Ring of Fire, yeah. AKA King's Cups. And we played these card games, played this drinking game, and it was very funny, wasn't it?
It was definitely a highlight of it. And it's one of those embarrassing games. If you haven't played it before, it makes you get up and dance, or you have to like swig loads of your drink and you get very drunk very quickly. So we'd been drinking for a few hours and then we all realised that we were meant to be climbing up loads more steps, or like 500 steps that night.
Yeah.
Because we were going up to a famous place in Hampi for like a really good sunset. But it was a proper hike. Well, a proper hike in terms of if you've been drinking, you don't want to do this hike.
Yeah. You walk on these big boulders and big rocks. And when you get to the top, what you do there is you see the sunset. And I'm not really a massive sunset fan, but it was really cool.
It was amazing. Definitely a highlight of the trip again. We all just kind of sat up the top and we started playing that song from the beach, the film.
Moby Porcelain.
Yeah, and I just wanted a proper like travel song. Just while you sit there and you just look back and kind of think, wow, my life's pretty great. I'm sitting in Hampi in India right now.
Yeah.
Watching sunset with a load of great people that we've just met on our trip. And it's just really cool.
Yeah, I love moments like that.
Yeah.
So after we saw the sunset, we went back to the bar where we were playing drinking games earlier, and they had some music going on.
So in the same bar, they were kind of had like a film night, didn't they? So they're playing Fight Club, and everybody just ordered food, chilled out, watched Fight Club, and had a mini cinema night.
And Fight Club is an intense film. I don't think I'd ever seen it before. It was a long film. I felt like I was there for 4 hours.
All right, mate, this ain't a fucking film podcast, all right?
But it was good. And the guys who run the place reminded me a bit like the place back in Varkala. Friendly guys.
Yeah.
Just up for a good time.
Definitely. And they had the cutest little girl. And I was going to steal her and adopt her.
We'll put them pictures up. You and your adopted Indian daughter.
She loved it.
She was having a great time.
She was. So that was our second from last place. And yeah, Hampi is just a really cool place if you want to chill out, feel like a hippie and lay in hammocks all day long. Just one mention of something. All I'm going to say is pick up sticks.
Oh, this game is unreal. This is good. So the two, the brother and the sister who are on the trip with us, Josh and Georgia, I've remembered their names.
Woo-hoo.
They've got this game called Pick Up Sticks, where literally they chuck those sticks on the floor and you've got to pick them all up. But when you pick one up, you can't move any other sticks. It's so addictive. On the one hand, it's the worst, shittiest, most frustrating game ever. But on the other hand, it's the best game ever.
It sounds so shit, but it really did get addictive. So we played a lot of that in Hampi. So we then went on our last overnight train, which was to Goa, our final place. Goa. So this is a place that I was most looking forward to before we got to India. Then throughout travelling India, I thought Hampi was going to be my favourite, and it was. But Goa, I don't think we were staying in the right place.
No, because we were staying in like the party place, which you'd assume is like, oh, that's good. That's going to be where it's at. No, well, you've either got the hippie place, which we weren't staying in, or you got the party place. And we were where the nightlife was, but it was more like you kind of cheap package holiday to like Spain, like Benidorm or something like that. Nightlife a bit like that, if you know what I mean. We still had a good night because we didn't really get much time in Goa as a group, or we didn't get much time to explore it at all. We were there for the day we got there. We explored a bit, had a meal that night, our last meal with the group. Then we had a big night out where we made some more friends while we were out, had a good time. And the next day, we were supposed to explore Goa a little bit, but it rained all day long. And then that afternoon, we got our flight out of India to go to the next part of our honeymoon, to the Maldives. So we didn't see much of Goa at all.
We can't really sum it up. We definitely need to go back. So we want to do a third trip, or definitely go to India again. And we need to do Mumbai and Goa. Luckily, they're quite close together. And we'll fit Darjeeling in there as well. But I feel like I can't really comment on it, to be honest.
I agree. Yeah, I'm the same as you. All we had really was one meal and one night out.
Yeah.
And we had quite a good night out, didn't we?
Yeah. And it seemed like it had quite a cool vibe. But like you said, on our last night, we had our last meal as a group. It was all very sad. But and that was before heading out as well. Like you said, big night out on the town. So we took that time over dinner to sum up our South India styling tour with Georgia, Casey and Josh, who we were travelling with, and our guide Afshar. And we started by asking Afshar how he thought the trip went.
It was really good. All right. Now, let me be very frank. You guys didn't give me any hard time. You guys were really nice with me, very friendly. And thank you. Thank you so much for everything.
Aww, good. Getting sentimental already.
Very, very nice, Ash. Yeah. You said that we haven't given you any trouble. I wonder, can you be honest with us? Have you ever experienced a group where they have been a bit of trouble and it's been hard work?
Of course, yes. Yeah. For example, my last trip. I don't want to go in detail, but yeah.
Yeah, I mean, don't go in detail, don't name names, but what were the reasons why they were quite difficult to deal with? Because it must be a tough job dealing with a large number of foreigners quite often.
The thing is, it's like, you know, they complain for each and everything. Like, whatever about the rooms, about the food, about the transport, each and everything. And whatever we say, they just do it just opposite to that. All right? Yeah.
Can you just tell us briefly your background, like where you're from in India and how you became a tour guide?
I'm from Cochin, which is the southernmost part of India. Actually, which is in Kerala. All right, I was born, brought up and fed up in Cochin. All right, and I'm from hotel management background. I did my graduation in hotel management and I worked for 8 years in hotel restaurant industry field. And after that, one of my friend is working in this company. So when I planned to change my profession, he just gave me an option. So I just tried online and I'm here.
So starting with Georgia, what has been on this trip your best and worst moment?
Oh, moment's going to be a hard one. I'm not really sure for moment. I think probably the highlight for me was when we were in Varkala and we took out the bikes. I think it's because we were at the beginning of the trip. It was really exciting. It was a really nice day and the weather was lush. And I just got a really good vibe from Varkala. I just loved it. Yeah. The worst moment for me... was probably when me and Josh fell out in the restaurant. Because I got really angry because I was so hungry and I was so thirsty and the service was making me so fucking angry. So yeah, that was the worst moment for me.
And now to the token American, what was your best and worst moments on this trip to India?
Thanks. Okay. Well, worst moment. I had like the worst. I think I just had a worst day. I don't even remember how. What? I don't even remember what the first bad thing happened. But then I stepped in like a ditch of shit and piss. Oh yeah, I kicked over for. Okay. Well, then I just like totally disrespected someone's. Flowers.
Someone's
oh yeah. Oh no. We stopped to get coffee and tea or whatever and use the bathroom, and someone had placed a nice flower. What do you call those? Pukala for the holiday, and then I just nonchalantly like kicked the shit out of it. I was like looking in the sky and kicked the shit out of it, and then he yelled at me. Then I proceeded that evening to almost die in a motorcycle accident and get ran over. So that was just a terrible day. But my best experience is I really loved the sunset. That was pretty fucking cool. Yeah, and Hampi. Well, I've really been surprised by just the terrain of the country. I didn't realize like the variety it had. So in general, that's kind of cool. But I would say the sunset was probably my favorite.
And now to Josh.
Okay, so if I had to pick a best moment or activity, I'd say it was the cooking class. It's probably my favourite thing we did, because the guy that led it was just absolutely nuts. Such a big character, but like so much fun. Taught us some pretty cool methods on how to make some like traditional Indian food, and like the food was just incredible as well. It was like really good, really, really tasty food. Another highlight I'd have to add in just to look back was when Nick decided to eat like one of the hottest chilies going in the spice garden.
Almost died.
And also swallow it. following his stomach swelling up like 10 minutes later. Probably not so enjoyable for you, but quite hilarious. And the worst moment, I think, was when probably Georgia and I decided we were going to try and send some packages back to the UK. So we went to the post office, you know, had to go off and then get a photocopy of some ID, and being there like a day of strikes, everything was closed. We had to find an office that would do a photocopy for this ID, and then finally go back to this post office in like this, you know, blistering heat, and then wait around for probably a good hour and a half for them to sort of wrap and stitch the parcels and package it all up, to then get shouted at by the man when we questioned his pricing, because we rang Ash and got Ash to speak to the guy because he thought he was ripping us off. He was quite insulted by the things. He sort of claimed to us like, oh, do you know who I am? I'm ex-Indian Air Force, 15 years, all this. And he's just being a bit of a wanker, basically.
Very good.
But all in all, really good trip.
Just briefly, all three of you, I just wanted to know what you guys kind of think of India now, because it is an interesting place. It is my and Amy's favourite place to visit, but it's so extreme. Like, if someone told me they hated it, I would totally get it. It is quite an in-your-face country. So just very briefly, what do you think of India, you know, now you're going to be leaving soon?
In all honesty, like, I absolutely love the place. There's something about it that is so different to your kind of standard Southeast Asia backpacking. You get a completely different, not necessarily experience, but the vibe is just so different. I don't know what I expected before I came here, but yeah, I do. I love it. There's stuff about it that frustrates the shit out of me, and it makes it what it is.
Let's see. I'm like really glad I started in the South, because I feel like the North would stress the shit out of me. So I've actually really enjoyed, I would come back. Like, George and I were talking about it this on our way home today, but just like, yeah, the South is cool. It's got tons, like I was saying earlier, like tons of cool different terrain and variety, and the people are actually really nice here, and I didn't feel like unsafe. I mean, at first I was like unsure if I would feel unsafe or whatever, but I never felt that way really. Yeah, I would totally come back. It's a pretty sweet place.
Cool.
Yeah.
I guess I tried not to build up any expectations before I arrived, because I just didn't have a clue like what to expect. But no, it is an absolutely stunning place, especially from, you know, what we've seen in the South. It's just so picturesque. So, you know, some of the ruins and the palaces and the temples are absolutely gorgeous, and the people are awesome. Like, maybe at first, you know, you look at someone, they've got a bit of a stern look on their face, but then you smile at them and they just immediately light up and smile back at you. It's absolutely amazing.
Sure.
But yeah, like Georgia said, there are some frustrating times and things that seem a little bit backwards, but it's all part of the experience. And yeah, it's been great. I don't know if I'd necessarily come back, because there are a lot of awesome places in the world that I still like to see. Time will tell.
So Ash, I guess the final question is, are we your favourite group you've ever had?
Oh yes, no doubt.
Oh yes.
No doubt, man.
We need to finish it with doing an impression of Ash's "All right." Okay, when he says "All right," ready? 3, 2, 1.
All right.
All right. All right. All right, cheers, guys. Cheers, guys.
That was the group, and we were lucky. We did have a good group. It was a small group, but we had a really good time. And yeah, looking back, I liked the whole trip. The Geckos tour was really, really good. We decided for future trips, we're going to be a bit more brave and adventurous and do it solo without a tour. But I would probably still recommend, if you're going to India, I'd say do it with a tour group.
Yeah, even if it's like for the first 5 days or something. So you have a tour guide, a local there that you can ask all these different questions, like even basic stuff like, where do I tip? Is it in a taxi? Do I tip a tuk-tuk driver? Do I tip in a restaurant? Little things like that. But then also just understanding the culture, because you could be doing something that they find intensely offensive, but you don't realise that you're doing it. I would really recommend that, especially with India, because it's quite a religious country.
You want to know what the rules are, the do's and don'ts.
It's not like Thailand, where you can just kind of do whatever you want and they accept Western world because they want to make all the money out of it.
Yeah.
India is still India.
Yeah, I'd agree. Like we said before, the South... Actually, we didn't say before. No, did we? I can't remember, sorry. The South of India was very different to the North of India. As you know, we went 2 years ago. And I still prefer the North. I loved the South. It's way more chilled out. And in a way, it's nicer in the South. But I prefer the hectic madness of the North, because to me, that's proper India. That's where the Taj Mahal is and the River Ganges. And the South just seemed like a nice place where, you know, you might go on your holiday kind of thing. It's more chilled out in the South.
Oh, I absolutely agree with you. Like, I couldn't agree anymore. Definitely prefer the North.
One thing I like to add, you all know that we love India. When we left our group, the American lady, Casey, she went to Bali to do another tour around Indonesia. and she's now back home. But I asked her, what was your favourite out of the two? Because out of the two, I'd probably say, I could be wrong, I'd say that Indonesia is more, and like especially Bali, is more touristy. It's more built up for tourists, do you think?
Yeah. And knowing Casey, like, as the person she is, I thought she would really like it there because she likes all of her like activities like yoga and trying out new things and stuff like that. And I think Bali's, well, Indonesia is more suited to that. So I did think she would say Bali.
Yeah, well, to my surprise and delight, she said by far she loved India more than Indonesia, which I was surprised about. And in my opinion, she hasn't even seen the best part of India yet.
That's so true. So that was the end of Series 2, Episode 1, South India Styling.
Don't forget, you guys can get in touch with the show. You can send us an email. Our address is whatthefopodcast@gmail.com. Faux is spelled P-H-O. On Twitter, we are at Faux Podcast. Also, check us out on Instagram and Facebook as well. With all this social media, this podcast doesn't just come in your ears. We also come in your eyes. Lads, 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 lads.